welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca, sitting in for Graham Duyé. Today, Jesus is our beloved guest to speak with us about the meaning and nature of family. As I contemplated this topic driving along in my car yesterday, the vision I had was that we're weaving the tapestry that will join all of us together. I don't mean just humans, because it's feeling to me as though the intention here is about bringing us to a level of normalcy, about thinking of the galactics and those living in inner Earth as true family. Unity consciousness extends well beyond humanity. So we may as well get comfortable with that relationship, the ones that will be unfolding. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I'm excited to see that what Yeshi has in store for us today. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. And I love, Suzanne, the way you expanded the family to include our star brothers and sisters and the Agarthans. And, you know, when I was thinking about it, it's true, because I think of my animals inside the house and outside the house, and my trees and my plants as part of my family too.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, family has definitely taken on a much broader meaning. And, you know, I mean, I think we have a family here on In Light Radio as well.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean just the team that does the broadcasting. I was thinking about this morning as I was meditating and getting ready. And I don't think I talk often enough about how honored I feel to channel these incredible ascended beings, whether it's an archangel or a master.
Yeah.
Or the Divine Mother. I mean, it's this sense, you know, we pop on air and then away we go. But it's really this phenomenal. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? It's this phenomenal feeling. But also, it's a phenomenal feeling for me, and I know I'm speaking for both of us, Susie, that those who are joining us, that we get to join together in this way.
Absolutely.
And to really share our hearts.
Yes, yes, with our listeners.
Yeah, with our listeners.
I've
noticed that, you know, the depth and the quality of our conversations and with those who are calling in and sharing or asking for guidance has really been getting just deeper and deeper and more profound as time goes on. So I want to say a special thank you to everybody.
Yes, yes, definitely thank you to our listeners. And things are definitely getting richer, and I'm sure that that's a part of a factor of the raising of the frequency here and the opening of hearts and the changing of humanity as we speak.
Yeah.
It's all happening right now.
Yeah. I think that whether we consciously realize it or not, that heart consciousness really is growing and deepening within us.
Yes.
And that we're coming from that deeper place rather than just from our mental or emotional bodies.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're trying to exclude them. It's that there's integration.
Yeah, and you know what I've been noticing lately too? Okay, so for example, in December, after the 21st, go to the supermarket and I don't know what it is about the grocery store, but people are just bummed out. You know, they're walking, looking at the floor. There's no eye contact. Everybody looks really miserable and unhappy. And I'm just, you know, thinking like, gosh, don't you guys know what's going on? And they really don't. Okay, so, but by contrast, though, I noticed, like last week going to the supermarket, I had eye contact and shared a smile with at least 10 people in the supermarket. It was very different. It was a very different energy. People are just more open and willing to make contact. So, you know, those energetic cords that are attaching us and the realization that, you know, we're all in this together, I really feel that that's a growing realization for us.
I think it's a growing realization. And I think part of that is this realization or this shift in our energy that not only are we all in this together, but I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
I want to be in this with you.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, oh my gosh, we're stuck in the same sinking boat. It's like, no, we are in this wonderful journey of creation and something incredible is happening. And we may not know all the details. And even if we think we know all the details,
yeah,
we don't know the details. But in it together.
Yes, in it together. Yeah, in it together. And when you look up and you meet someone's eyes with your own, expect love. Expect love, because there's going to be love there. Instead of, you know, back in December, it was like they're not meeting anyone's eyes because they're not expecting to be met or seen or loved or appreciated. But now we are, you know, just expect.
You know, when I first moved to Florida, it was after, right after actually, well, a month or so, two after, they had two terrible hurricanes in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And where I live on the Treasure Coast on the Atlantic side of Florida, this area hadn't been hit by hurricanes in, I don't know, something like 50 years.
Wow.
And so I arrive, and you know what happens when you move. You have to go to places like Ace Hardware or Home Depot or, God forbid, Walmart. I got to tell you, I do not do well in big stores.
Right.
But what hit me, because you've got all that stuff to buy,
yeah,
and we got rid of everything when we left California, so we really were pretty much starting from scratch.
Wow.
But I would go into the stores, and people talk about people not meeting your eyes. It was like I was in a place of the living dead, zombies. Ooh. People looked like they had been beat up and drug out.
Oh.
And I had never encountered that before. And I'd gone through the really bad fires in San Diego, but I had never seen anything like this. And it wasn't even that people were rejecting love, it was just they were shell-shocked.
Yeah.
And so it took about 6 months before I started to notice that people were coming back, you know, that they would make eye contact and that they would, there was some kind of soul interaction. For a while I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And then, of course, I knew what I was doing here, which made it even harder. But now, like you're saying, the level of interaction is phenomenal.
Yes.
Like people, they look to you to greet you.
Yes.
You know, on a soul level.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, we reach out for one another, and so we're all becoming family. It's interesting that that the discussion is going to be about both family of origin and spirit family, because, you know, there's many people that I know of that don't feel that they fit in with their family of origin. Like, why was I born here? Am I really related to these people, kind of thing? I mean, mine mostly have little idea of or interest in what I do. And, of course, I'm used to that because I've had a lifetime of it, but it's not so easy for my daughter to accept, and she doesn't really feel part of that. So it'll be very welcome when we actually have real, true soul family around us.
Yeah, and there is a difference, and it's hard. I'm one of the lucky ones. I have a really great family. I used to think I had a dysfunctional family until I started looking around, and I realized it's like we're right out of Leave It to Beaver. But it's hard when your family and that the people that you've chosen to incarnate with to accomplish your mission and purpose,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When that hasn't gelled, or when you're rejected, or even worse, I think, in my estimation, that you're ignored or dismissed, that you're not seen.
Not seen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. You know, what we're born into, some of us, our starseed listeners and... Well, I guess that probably makes most of us. So we're born into a family that doesn't see us. That would kill indigenous people, okay? When an indigenous baby is born, they're celebrated and nurtured, and if they have special gifts, they're taken in and taught and set aside and given certain dispensations, et cetera. We don't do that in our culture. It's just completely lost. So then a child grows up feeling as if they don't belong, as if, you know, nobody sees me, I don't really even matter, and people don't want me around, that kind of thing. So it's a tough thing to overcome, but it's also something that we've chosen, and it helps us to grow and expand into our fullness of who we are. So it's really
good. It does, but it's also, you know, it's hard, and the new kids, the new breed of kids on the planet,
right.
Who are awake, they won't put up with that. They just will not. I mean, I'm 62, so I grew up in a generation where melding in was de rigueur. It was, you know, what you wanted to do. You weren't supposed to be different. And I'm probably as different as they come. But today, you know, if you're trying to tell a young person or a child to fit in, it's like they're looking at you as if you're insane, and you probably are, because they know full well that they came with special attributes, and they're not going to allow that to be drowned or, you know, socialized out of them.
Yes, I can vouch for that.
Oh, yes, you can, because you have an incredible daughter.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing, and any time that I've tried to follow, the norm or the advice of family and friends, et cetera, it's backfired terribly. And so, you know, actually my daughter has had a lot of choice in her life. And you're right, they won't stand for it. And, you know, I could be considered a wimp of a mother, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, I was just going with the flow and following my intuition and my heart and what would be best and how to raise her. And it's not been normal or conventional by any means whatsoever.
But what else can you do except follow your heart?
Follow your heart, that's right. And I've certainly gotten validation from many channeled sources, including you, that it's just exactly the right thing to do. If I had followed another course, there would be problems of another nature.
Oh, yeah. You know, the council has said since the very beginning that if you don't go to channels, if you don't read, you know, Golden Age of Gaia or Council of Love websites, it doesn't matter. If you just go to your heart,
mm-hmm.
and listen and follow your heart, you will never go wrong. Now, that's not listening to our ego that we sometimes pretend is our heart, but if you really go inside and listen to your heart, you can't go wrong.
That's true.
It's just that simple.
Yeah, and drop the fear.
Drop the fear.
So what do you think? Are we ready for meditation?
I think we're more than ready for meditation.
Super duper. All right.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of magenta. Magenta is the primary ray of Jesus Sananda, of our beloved Yeshua. So relax. let go of the day and the week that lies ahead. And make sure you're comfortable, because the key to meditation is just not paying attention to your body. So whether it's lying on the floor of your bed or sitting in your chair, make sure you're comfy. And take a nice deep breath of magenta, that perfect balance of blue and red, the color of a red wine, and breathe it in. And hold it for a second, and then release out through your mouth. And as you're releasing out of your mouth, blowing out of your mouth, feel your energy sinking into your heart, going deeper and deeper into your heart. Let's do it again. That wonderful color of chrysanthemums, the tinge of violet, a tinge of blue, a tinge of red, the color of maroon, the color of Yophael and Yeshua, in through your mouth. Hold it. And exhale down into your heart. And feel the sense of peace and compassion and life force as you anchor in your heart. And allow that magenta to seep out into your expanded self, into your tissues and your bones, your arms and your legs, your skin, your organs, out into your emotional body, your mental body, your causal body, your astral, way out. And relax. And allow yourself to simply be. And open your heart to receive the gifts of love that Yeshua brings us, that He always brings us. As I step aside, greetings, I am Yeshua. I am Jesus Sananda. I am Yeshi. Welcome. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles. Welcome, my soul family. My beloved family of humankind, star seeds, angelics, earth keepers, every ray and every color, I welcome you. I welcome you from the bottom of my heart. And yes, I have asked to come and to continue this conversation that you have begun with my beloved friend, Saint Germain. Because it is time for you And I am asking you to think of yourself not only as your precious self that you define primarily by what you know and cherish, your physical form, your mental and emotional makeup, your spiritual self, but also to expand that knowing into your galactic star being self, your earthkeeper self, your interdimensional self. Now, let us be very clear about this as we begin this conversation. I ask you to expand. Well, really, to expand your understanding. You do not need to expand your being any larger. It is already there. But I ask you to expand this understanding, this cognizance, this recognition and acceptance, not because who you are is in any way lacking or insufficient. It is magnificent. Let us begin there. I have walked the earth in the third dimension as a human man. Now, did I bring my divinity and my multidimensional understanding with me? Yes. But that did not cancel out or in any way diminish or eliminate my experience as a third dimensional person. But what I am asking of thee is simply to look and see and to acknowledge the massive nature of your being. Now, I have come this day with a request that I be permitted to address you about family. And so I do so on many levels. I wish to speak to you about the importance of family, period. And in that I include your biological family that you know in this lifetime, your galactic family, your earth family, the family of man, of humanity, and your soul family, some of which are on earth, and some who are with us on this side, some who are in the far reaches of the multiverse. It does not make them less of a family. If you have a cousin that lives in South America and you live in Northern Canada, it does not diminish or eliminate the fact that you are cousins. And in fact, it may be the closest familial relationship that you have. So we are not simply speaking of physical proximity. But let us begin this discussion with the understanding of physical proximity. And what I wish to do today is I do not wish to address those of you, like Linda, who are fortunate enough to have kind and loving and supportive and accepting families. Now, as I speak of that, I also wish to speak to you of the knowing that to achieve that place of support is not always easy. And I do not in any way presume or assume or wish to give the impression that there have never been bumps along the road. Of course there have been. And that there has been effort and decisions made to form those what you think of as happy families. But there are many of you, my beloved friends, who look around you and you think and feel, why am I in this family? What was the idea or the plan? Why am I not seen and loved and cherished for the very truth of who I am? Mm-hmm. And why, when I push and try to form relationships, does it cause conflict? Or worse, simply dismissal and being ignored? Now, my beloved friends, my family, I tell you that I was fortunate as well, that I had a family on earth, and I have a family throughout the multiverse and the mother's design of which you are part of, that loves and supports me. Let me give you, or let us start, with the simplest explanation that I have repeated thousands and thousands of times. An explanation of this question of why. You came to teach love. That is the short answer. And with all the window dressings and accoutrements and fine tunings, that is the long answer. You came into that family to be the beacon and the carrier of love. It is that simple. And you came into that configuration, whether they were absolute strangers or beings that you had traveled with time after time after time. You came in because there was an opening and an agreement. You did not do this blindly or in a foolhardy way. There was an opening and an agreement that those who were part of your family were ready to experience love, to give love, to discover love, to have that experience. And in the purity of your being, in the sweetness of your soul, in your compassion, you said yes. It was never a mistake. It was never a misstep. And that mission has never changed. Now, for some of you, that opportunity to teach love is still open, particularly as humans grow and change and evolve and prepare for the choice of ascension. And this, my dear Suzanne, is what you see in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And it was the same encouragement that I saw in the marketplace thousands of years ago. But for others of you, either for reasons of survival, self-protection, continuity of your being and your path, which is ultimately your responsibility, you have stepped away from that mission of being the anchor of love in your family. There is no right or wrong, duality, polarity, answer to this question. The guidance, my sweet angels, the guidance that I offer you, that the Magdalena and I as a family offer you, is if you have lost or have not been fulfilled in your family of origin, do not give up. And for those of you who have been fulfilled in your family of origin, the advice is exactly the same. Keep going. Because now it is a time upon the planet where it is important to expand and embrace the idea of what is family, the notion and the concrete reality of what is family. We often speak of soul family, and these are the beings that you encounter through meditation on this side and in human form that you have such a rich, beloved bond with. But it is not simply a bond of saying, oh, I think we are connected. It is a bond in this time and in this energy of transition that formulates action together. And sometimes the action is simply the sharing of heart, of experience, of knowing, of acknowledging love. And sometimes it is coming together to create and to undertake magnificent projects, which will be the future of Nova Earth. So your soul family is more important than ever. Now within that soul family, and as an extension of that soul family, is also your star family and your earth family. There are very few of you, particularly those of you who are listening, who did not come from the stars, who are not what you think of as starseed. And even within that, there are a great percentage of you who are Pleiadian. And you have come to Earth with this full understanding that has awakened now within you of the role that your star family plays. That is why you are so anxious to be connecting and meeting up. This is not about, and never has been, about political intrigue and disclosure. this is not even about technology, which has been very rich in the gifts that have been given to Gaia and brought forward undercover, as it were, upon Gaia. It is about your yearning for your star family and friends.
Yes.
It is about sitting and walking and talking and being together.
Yes.
It is not about a political structure or a social structure or an elimination of intrigue. It is simply a straightforward heart yearning. And one of the reasons I bring this up is that heart yearning, that desire for connection, is being mirrored very clearly, not by the collective star being, but by your star family and friends, by your star circle. So you are meeting in the middle. Think of it in this way. On Earth, you meet someone, and you have the immediate deep knowing. I know this person, I like this person, I think I love this person, and we can be the best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this yearning after the initial meeting, after you have sat together and talked each other's ear off for hours, of when can we get together again?
Yeah.
What do you want to do? What do you want to explore? What do you enjoy doing? Let's do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And when that yearning that you feel is not met by the other person, you are disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But when it is met, the chemistry, the love, the union is a deep gift.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same. Your yearning is being met by your star family and friends. So you say, well, Yeshua, Yeshi, I am disappointed because I am trying to contact them and I miss them and I want to be with them. What am I supposed to do? How can I do this? Well, I suggest, my beloved ones, that you begin. It is that simple. Begin talking. Yes, you may think of it as quiet contemplation. You may think of it as walking contemplation. You may think of it as simply thoughts throughout the day of your loved ones. Begin the communication. Open the channels of communication. And then begin to send yourself. The channel has spoken of this before, but it is actually very simple. You do not need a transportation vehicle. Simply send yourself. Speak to your beloved star family. Ask them where they wish to meet. What plane, what dimension, what ship? Is it a healing ship? Is it a science ship? Is it the mothership? Where do they want to meet? And then go into your quasi-meditation state or go to sleep and send yourself to meet each other. Now, why do I encourage this? And why do I encourage this at this time? First of all, because it will nourish you. And I remember, as a third dimensional human being, how much I would travel. And at times, how much I missed my family that wasn't on Earth. So, of course, I would send myself. There is much written and talked about how I would retreat to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, believing that I was in constant meditation. Well, in a way I was, but I was also having a great deal of visiting and communication during that time. And what I needed was the isolation so that I could do this without human interference. My family understood that. And so will yours. You need this connection with your star family because it will reinforce you. It will reinforce you for this process of being interdimensional and understanding that it is as simple as accepting and acknowledging that you are multidimensional. But it will also nourish your very soul, your heart, and it will begin and support your expansion. So it is a process. It is your next step. One of the rationales for your star brothers and sisters not appearing en masse is still the quotient of fear, not so much within the general populace, but within the, shall we say, the existing power structures of government. Oh yes, they are enormous institutions of fear. Yeah. But as you visit back and forth, what you are also doing is you are anchoring the energy of this is the new normal. This is the way it is. Of course, we visit back and forth. And do not hesitate to ask them to come and accompany you or visit with you in places that you designate as well. And get used to feeling their energies. Yes, I would suggest you do it in isolation to begin with, simply so that you are not dealing with the, can we say, the chaotic energy of so many humans. Because there is still a great deal of turmoil upon your planet. Is it lessening? Yes. But there is waves and crescendos. It is very similar to when the Roman cavalry would do their exercises and march through the villages and towns. There was always a displacement and a fear. So that is still present upon the earth. Okay. What you are also going to find as you connect and reconnect more deeply with your star family is that you are going to recognize on Earth more clearly and more lovingly those who are part of your star family as well. So, dear heart, I know you have many questions. Where do you wish to begin?
Well, good morning and welcome, and thank you. It's so lovely to have you with us again. What I'm wondering is, well, lots of things, but if part of the process of the reunion with our star family is in making peace with our family of origin, like in trusting that we were born into a specific family of energy signatures that would create an environment perfectly designed for our own soul growth and expansion. And you've kind of already answered that.
And the answer is, yes, you were born into your family of origin with a very specific mission and purpose and design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that part of that which I haven't touched upon, is that it was not simply to open their hearts, but also to help you flourish and grow, to support you in your journey of becoming. You all came, even those who are naysayers. You all came with the absolute knowing and understanding that this was a time of phenomenal, massive change. So there was no one who came during this time of ascension, transition, shift, whatever you choose to call it, that was not fully equipped and aware. And so the combinations of families of origin were not only to bring love, but the supports that were necessary to catalyze you on your journey. Now let me say, because this is important, no one came and said, I will be put in a family that is abusive and brutal, and this will help me on my journey. That was never part of your plan or the plan. These are human free will choices. This is the plan gone awry at the worst level. Yes, let me be clear about this. Brutality, abuse, hatred, greed, meanness within the family is the most egregious act of all.
Yes.
Because it is personal.
Yeah.
It is directed. It is cruel. So you may compensate and say, well, that brutality or abuse or just being ignored or not being seen made me stronger. So what you did, dear hearts, was make the best of a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we would never suggest to you that that was the idea of what you would bring forth on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So do you need to make peace with it? Yes.
Yeah.
And for some of you, that means leaving it behind. And for some of you, it means leaving the door slightly ajar. And for some of you, it means building bridges.
Mm.
But those are your decisions.
Mm.
And those decisions are based on two factors. What is of love? And what assists you and the collective in moving forward
right.
on your journey of ascension?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay, so when we think of the galactics as family, is it literally a case of shared biology on another planet or solar system or galaxy? Like in higher dimensions, aren't all beings of a group mind?
There is an interconnectedness of mind, yes, but there is also the uniqueness and individuality. So it is incorrect to say, the higher you go, yes. Well, it is actually twofold. Now, there is a complete group unity consciousness, and yet the preciousness, the gift, of individuality, of uniqueness, of your spark of love being different, say from mine or from anyone's, is treasured.
Mm-hmm.
So it is both. But is there shared biology? More than biology, there is shared energetic grids. So can you think of it? Yesterday, on Hour with an Angel, you have discussed with Michael a great deal about the changes in physicality, DNA, chakra systems, crystalline bodies. But one thing has been missed. No, I am not critical. I am simply adding to the mixture.
Right.
And it is soul design. So think of it as your template. Your template is your point of reference and connection with many of your star family. And for many of you, your strongest terms of reference are with that soul family that is galactic or star being rather than human being. So again, it is a matter of who do you relate most closely to? Mm-hmm. Who do you yearn for most deeply?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So something that I've been wondering too is there would be a difficulty, okay, for our human vessel to be up on board ship in physicality because of the difference in frequency. That's correct, right?
There is an imprint of your body that can adjust very easily. Do not forget you are multidimensional. If you are talking about the body that you have carried in the third dimension, that is correct. If you are talking about the body that you are carrying as you shift into the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimension, that is incorrect.
Okay, so I guess the real question is the difference in frequency something that keeps us from being able to have a face-to-face reunion?
But what I am suggesting to you in this day is that you begin some of those. Yes, you might begin with a more etheric or esoteric reunion, but you begin those reunions.
Okay.
You see, do not restrict yourself thinking that somehow the physical dimension of the third dimension, which does not even exist any longer, it is a hologram, but that, that what you think of as physicality, that kind of face-to-face reunion has greater value or greater impact than a, can we say, different kind of face-to-face reunion.
Hmm. Okay.
There is a difference in frequency.
Yeah.
For example, and what we have said to you before, but I repeat, is that your star brothers and sisters, particularly those who are, can we say, very close at hand, are fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional, a little bit of eighth dimensional beings. Now, the tolerance level in that frequency for anything that is of the old third, well, there is zero tolerance. So it would be like exposing a child to tuberculosis.
Oh.
So you cannot have that. They cannot deal with that lower vibration.
Right.
It is literally not possible. It would destroy them.
Okay. So we need to raise the frequency here.
And you are, dear heart. We would not be having what we are calling on this side fifth dimensional conversations.
Right.
If you were not already there.
All right. Beautiful. Okay, I have one more question and then we'll go on to callers. And this is kind of a, well, we'll just do it. I know of several people who feel that they knew you as a friend or family when you walked the earth as Jesus. I'm wondering if those memories and feelings are accurate or if there's kind of a collective memory in human DNA that brings us to see ourselves as part of those times.
It is both. There are many of you whom I have known and touched and laughed and broken bread with.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have always thought of and known you to be part of my family. And it doesn't matter whether it was a distant cousin or one who stood on a hillside as a deaf child waiting to be healed. So yes, many of you have known me. The world was quite literally a smaller place then. So many of us have agreed to reunite in this way. Much the same in different traditions and in different religions. And I do not mean the dogma. I simply mean the practice of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
That they are re-encountering their beloved masters as well. But is there a connection in the human DNA that we share?
Mm-hmm.
I do not exclude myself,
mm-hmm.
nor would Saint Germain or Maitreya or the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes. We do share that memory, which is literally part of the DNA.
Cool.
Yes, it was part of the promise that you would not forget.
Right.
Because you said, I will go and I will have many of the memories veiled. But I need to know of this very important connection. I need to know that that support and that love is there. And so, yes, it is embedded in you the same way it has been embedded in me.
Beautiful. All right. That's wonderful. So are we ready for some callers?
Yes, we are.
Super. Okay. So here we go. Thank you for waiting for so long. And area code 248, you are on the air. Hello?
Hi, Yessie.
Hey.
This is Jelena again. And I'm quite aware now in the news. Yes, I know I keep my eye to the news probably more than I need to. Of the whistleblower who has brought to the world's attention of the amount of the surveillance of data, personal data, that has been in place and will continue to be in place. And I don't know if it's a question or just perhaps another a way to hold a higher vision of what's possible, given that it feels as though there's just so much more I would just say in balance in this area now.
There are many mythologies and many stories that have come and surrounded the recounting of my life. And one was the requirement of my parents to return home to their hometown, as it was, to be counted, to report in. Now this, what we regarded as oppressive regimes, continued on long after Herod.
Mm-hmm.
for the Romans required an accounting. That is the argument about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, because there was interference in parts of our life that had nothing to do with government. This is not a new phenomena. It is a control phenomena, and it is an invasion of privacy. But I want you to deal with it in this manner. I want you to look at this not as dismissive. And yes, the whistleblower has done a good deed. But do not buy in to the drama of this, my friends. Look at it, dismiss it, think, well, this is the old antics of government, and let it go. Laugh at it, because they cannot interfere and stop you.
Exactly.
You are far too advanced on your journey, and it matters not what they know or do not know. Let them listen to what I say this day, and let them broadcast it all over the world. The reason for incarnation of all beings at this time is the re-anchoring of love on the planet. So actions that are not of love are simply to be dismissed. They do not count.
Right.
Period.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Zelina.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. Area code 619. Are you with us?
Oh, hi. This
Hello?
Is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi,
you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Jesus. Hi, Susie. First, I want to say, before I forget, Jesus, thank you so much. I just appreciate everything you're doing. My question is, I'm from a big family, like a big Italian family. I have 5 siblings, and they're all married, and they have kids, and I have cousins. And I don't know. I think this is a subject that affects a lot of families. I got sober 14 years ago from alcohol. And I'm literally the only person in my family that's sober. I thought
oh.
people might follow me, but it's been 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And what is the role of alcohol in the ascension? Because I feel like, how can people be advancing or moving forward when they're under the grips of drugs and or alcohol? That's it.
Okay.
You have really asked several questions, my friend, and I welcome you. And it is important for you and all beings to understand that there is a difference between addiction and balance. And you have freed yourself from a family pattern of addiction. Now let me be clear, as I have said before, all addictions are addictions to pain. So it is the pain and the ability to try and numb the pain that results in drug abuse, sex abuse, gambling, alcohol. And then it becomes a physical need. But that is not really the crux of the matter, as you well know. Now, I also remind you that one of my first acts, and it was not simply allowing residue from the barrels to penetrate water, it was to create wine for the celebration of matrimony in Cana. And it was the balance of this. It is not the abuse of any substance, but to know that in physical form that you are given gifts, whether it is delicious food that nourishes your body or excites your senses, or a sip or a cup of wine, then this is not detrimental to your process of ascension. It is the process of addiction that is detrimental to ascension. Your body, your physical vessel, is undergoing massive change. And in that, because of that, you need to be vigilant about what you are putting in your form, what you are welcoming into your field. So if it is excess of anything, then it is going to interfere with the flow of energy. But what you are also doing, I return to you, Tony, and to your question. You say that none have followed you, but look to the upcoming generation. That is where you are teaching. That is where your example is truly being anchored. They are seeing that there are choices.
Mm-hmm.
So good work, my friend.
Will there be, in the ascension process that we're going through now, will there be help for people in addiction? Will the energies
that is why you are
help
seeing
them?
So many in turmoil, because this issue of pain is being brought to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It is not being brought to the surface as an act of punishment or cruelty, but rather
mm-hmm.
for opportunity for release. So it has already begun. And that is why, my beloved friends, that sometimes it is very important. I cannot emphasize this enough. Stand back. Be the observer. Erect your shields if necessary. Send love, send support, send light. But do not allow the chaos to enter.
Ah, thank you for your call, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, have
farewell.
A nice day. Okay, so we are on to, I don't have an area code for you, Karen. Hello?
Hi,
Jesus. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, Jesus.
Welcome, dear heart.
Thank you. When, with everything that you're saying, it's so powerful. And I, when we have that pain, that you know, when you are that person in that pain, and in my case, it's using food to numb the pain, and I've prayed and I've handed it over, and I still find myself in deep sorrow. And wanting to, you know, to release that so that I can do the work. And you know, I pray to you as my guide, and I just need help. I'm not sure what to do. What am I not seeing?
You are hungry for love. So what you are doing, and this is a very important question for many people, because it does not matter whether it is food or alcohol or cigarettes or drugs. It matters not. But what you in your situation are doing is you are asking for help with control of the food issue. But what you have not done is think of it as the balance, both hands up. So you are giving away, you are giving away, you are giving away, you are giving away the issue of food, which, dear heart, we have taken. But what you have need to bring in is to begin to eat love. Now you say to me, Yeshua, Yeshua, how on earth do I eat love? And I will give you the secret, dear heart. Eat green, breathe green, and bring in a touch of pink and red as well. So change how you think about food. And this is true for all of you. This is the Nova being. This is the new you. Always. Not in a flamboyant manner, but in a very quiet, private matter. Pray over your food, over your drink, over whatever you are putting in your body. Mm-hmm. And in that prayer, transmute anything that is not of wholeness, that is not for your highest good, simply transmute it into love. But then be cognizant of what you are putting into your body. Take that moment before you put something in your body. Look at it, whether it is in your hand or on a napkin or on a plate or in a pot or in a carton, and say, does this food look like love? If the answer is yes, then eat it. But be honest with yourself. If the answer is no, set it aside. Or, if you are in transition, add the green. Yes, even if it is a bowl of ice cream, partner it with a bowl of salad. The color of green is the color of love. It is the ray of love. If you do this, you will see. The struggle will cease. Be very conscious with yourself. I am giving away the addiction, and I am eating, smoking, drinking, ingesting love.
Wow. That is so.
Thank you for your call, Karen.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Have a great
Farewell.
Day. All right. We are on to area code 206. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Yes, hello. Jesus, Yeshi. It's always a pleasure to listen to you. And you're a great teacher. My question is about when you have in the past, I mean, in my case, lots of bad ideas or bad acts. The repentant will help in the future, I mean, for a final judgment, because it's, I believe it's coming or something, or will not help.
Oh, my beloved brother and friend, the worst judgment you can ever receive is the judgment you pass on your sweet self.
Mm.
What you think of as a final judgment, it is more like a collaboration and a meeting when your life is complete. There is discussion after the welcome home party and celebration, after you have had a chance to embrace those you have missed and loved, after you have had a chance to do a little rest, then there is a review, not a judgment. And it is not a judgment, as many think, at the doorway of heaven, that you are not allowed to return home. is not of love. We are waiting for you. We are not suggesting you come prematurely. But there is a review then of what occurred. Did you accomplish what you had hoped for? What did you learn? What do you understand? What do you wish your next steps back to the eternal light to be? Now you have touched on a very important issue that the human beings call repentance. Repentance, as you think of it, means reparation. And part of reparation is forgiveness. And it is forgiveness of those who have done you harm. Mm-hmm. And it is forgiveness of yourself for being harmed and for doing harm. For not acting in a way that is in accordance and alignment with the truth of who you are. Because all you are is love. That is why you feel badly when you feel that you have lost your way, or you have erred, or you have either advertently or inadvertently harmed another. It is because it goes against the grain. You have injured a member of your human family, or perhaps even your divine family. But there is not a thundering God, a punishing father or mother. The most severe punishment that is meted out is what you do to yourself. So it is a matter of practice, forgiveness, compassion, which eliminates the element of judgment, of prudence and fortitude. Because what happens, my dear heart, is so often when you lose your way, when you misstep, you don't want to go on. And it takes fortitude. It takes valor to continue on, to forgive yourself, and to say, I will continue to try and be the love I am. To be in the alignment of my truth. I wish to say something, and it may shock some of you. I hope not. There is no difference between you and I. None. We are both born of the Mother. We are both the essence of love. We are both in service to the Mother and in service to one another. So I ask of each of you to think of me as the brother that I am. Mm-hmm. And call on me. Call on me when you think that you have erred. Call on me to share your victories. Call on me to share your joys and your sorrow. I am here.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful day. That was very nice. Okay, area code 250. Are you there?
Hello, this is Fern.
Hi, Fern.
Hi, I'm honored to talk to you, Brother Jesus. Okay, I am 74, I have MS, and I'm wondering if I am allergic to something. Secondly, talking about family, I became a grandmother for the first time lately at 74. My lovely granddaughter, Mia, is half French-Canadian and half Mayan and lives in Guatemala with her mom and dad. So I would like to know, what is my role in her life and what is hers in Guatemala?
You are her shining light. You are her hope. You are her example of fortitude and valor. You are her teacher of perseverance. She is a beautiful soul. As are you, sweet angel.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a question of allergies. But what I suggest to you is to fill yourself every day. Well, of course, I am partial to magenta, but in this case, I suggest to you a very slow fill from head to toe of soft white light, not the blinding white light of the mother, of the universe, of the love, but the soft snow light. This will help.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Fern.
What you are doing is you are bringing cultures together. You are forming family across the miles.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. Oh, God.
I just wanted to say I intend to go in the fall to Guatemala for the first time, of course. But so, wow, this is so brilliant.
You will enjoy your trip, dear one.
Thank you very much.
Farewell.
Farewell.
All right. Let's see. David, are you with us?
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Greetings to you all. So I'll make this really tight because some questions. First question is, dear Yeshi, do I have some kind of unfinished business with my Italian ancestors?
The question is, do your Italian ancestors have unfinished business with you? No, the answer is no.
Okay, fantastic.
You carry this energy of the heritage, of the lineage, as do all beings. But no, understand part of what has occurred. There has not been a great deal of discussion about it, but part of the frequencies and the energies that have penetrated you, both from your star family, but also directly from the heart of the mother, father, one, has been a clearing of much of the generational past issues, let me put it that way.
Okay, thank you. So my second question is, can you help me why last month or something I really developed a disgust for naked men?
You have need to embrace your own physicality, your own beingness. You talk about disgust, but what is that but a form of dismissal and hatred? There in your culture, this is a good question, in the cultures, particularly of the Western world, there is a almost an obsession with the perfected male and female body. But there is not the adoration of what this vessel, whether it is 2 or 75, whether it is tall or short, fat or thin, whatever form it takes, it is a vessel for spirit to act through. It is magnificent. It is a gift directly from the heart of the Mother, Father, One. So understand what this disgust is disgust with self.
Oh, yes.
It is time to embrace physicality, not to dismiss it, not to dismiss it in yourself or in anyone else. So go deeper, dear heart. Go deeper in examining this level of disgust and let it go. Celebrate physicality.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so some short gifts for my friends. First, for my girlfriend. Do you know why she has some problems with her stomach? Has it something to do with her wish of a child?
She does wish for a child, but it is more than that. It is the difficulty in simply digesting energy.
So she
would do well to make sure that her current chakra system is open and balanced. She is living too much in her tummy.
Wonderful, great. Last question for my friend Eric. Do you know how he can heal relationship with his parents?
Acceptance and love.
Okay.
That is the key with parents. It is acceptance and love and looking at what you have chosen, what they have chosen, and meeting in the middle and laughing at the differences rather than hanging on to them as if they are something precious, because it is not the differences that count. It is the love that counts.
Okay, thank you very much, y'all. Thank you. I know I pushed it, and I go back. Bye-bye. Blessings.
Okay, bye.
Farewell, dear heart.
All right, Charisse, you are on the air. Thank you for waiting so long.
Oh, wow. I'm Charisse Magdalena Kaiser. And 35 years ago, Jesus, in my whole life, there's very few things that have ever scared the hell out of me. And in the most loving way and such a peaceful way, it felt like you spoke to my deepest heart and said I was becoming a modern Pharisee in my perfectionism and my extreme born-again Christian judgmentalism. And
we have under a minute.
I see underneath it I was fueled by not loving myself, and that's what I've done. I have gone back to that inner child and received such depths of love, and so I'm doing it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it's even
and you are doing it, dear heart.
Uh-huh.
And for this, I bless you and give you my love. Go in peace.
Thank you. Is there anything else in closing? Yishi, you're good?
Love your neighbor and love your family. Do not forget what I have said. Begin to visit with your star brothers and sisters. They are waiting. They are yearning. They are on hold.
Thank you so much for joining us. I love you.